Galatians 5, 22 and 23 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance." Patience is the way we'll tackle it when we get there. Word for forbearance. "Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. Against such things there is no law." So that is what we are here to look at over the coming weeks. Some of those aspects of the fruit of the Spirit. And a few sort of final thoughts as we continue with this theme of the fruit of the Spirit is love. It's often said that love grows, isn't it? Love grows where my rosemary goes. If some of you remember that 1970 hit by Edison Lighthouse. Yeah. There you go. And as far as I know, that was pretty much the only hit they ever had. But it's one of those earworms that if you know it, it will now be with you all day, even all week. Love goes where my rosemary goes. Yeah. Anyway, so what does it mean that love grows? What sort of love is it that grows? A few thoughts initially just on agape love, which maybe repeat what's already been said or just re-emphasize that. A reminder here that agape love is undeserved. Romans chapter 5 verse 8 expresses it this way, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." But it's undeserved by us. But God has given us, he has demonstrated his love for us despite the fact that we don't deserve it. I think the second thing I'd want to say is that agape love is generous. It's generous. 1 John 3 verse 1 says, "How great is the love that the Father has lavished upon us." That's unsparing, isn't it, really, that word lavish. "How great is the love he has lavished upon us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are." So agape love is generous, but also agape love is sacrificial. Probably most of us, if not all of us, know John 3:16, "God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son that whoever believed in him may not perish but have eternal life." Maybe less of us know 1 John 3:16, which says, "This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our life for our brothers and sisters." And we might ask the question, how would people respond if they were treated in such a way as this, with a love that may be undeserved, but a love that is generous and a love that is sacrificial? One of the things we don't always get from the New Testament is that when we see the word "you," we assume it applies just to us as an individual. But very often the word "you" is in the plural. It's talking really, it's Paul perhaps or even Jesus through the words of the gospel writers speaking to the church collectively. And we might ask the question, what kind of a church is a church that is fruitful in love? And I think it is, first of all, a church that knows the love of God and loves in return. We love because he first loved us. And when you love someone, you tell them, don't you? Or you demonstrate it through what you do, if words are not your thing. But really, that's why we worship God. We come to tell him that we love him and be reminded of his love for us. And love for God can, of course, be individual, but it's also meant to be expressed together. So that's why the writer of the Hebrews says, "Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another." So out of that, a church that knows the love of God and loves in return, comes the second mark of a church that is fruitful in love. And it is that it is a church in which we love one another. We don't just love God, but we love one another. 1 John 4, again, says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not know love does not know God, because God is love. And churches should always be communities of love, shouldn't we? Yeah, should always be that. But I don't think it's always the case. Sometimes churches can become a collection of individuals who come to sing a few hymns, say a few prayers, and hear hopefully a heartwarming homily before returning home and pulling up the drawbridge again until next Sunday. But if we are to love, we have to know one another rather than just being once a week in the same building together. And loving one another means being with one another, not necessarily all of the time. There are limits, perhaps, aren't there? We don't have to sell up and move into a commune together, which is kind of worrying if you watch last Sunday's program. If you don't know that, I'll ask me and I'll tell you later. But in fact, even the early church, who met together daily and shared everything in common, we're told, still owned property individually, and maybe sold it every so often as people had need, yes, but they had individual ownership of properties. But, of course, in the New Testament, there was the example of what's become known today and was known then as the agape meal. The time when the church would come together, it seems like every week, and share a common meal, at the end of which they would share the bread and wine of communion. We've kind of reduced it a bit, haven't we, to just the bread and wine a lot of the time. But I've been privileged in recent times it's barbecue season, isn't it? So the life group that meets in my home mostly, we had our life group barbecue. Wendy and I were invited to the Gately and Brazil life groups barbecue in the week just gone. We also had an elders and spouses barbecue. This is all in about the last 3 weeks. Wendy and I are having another barbecue today if the weather holds for us. So it's will be full of burgers. But it is a good way, isn't it, of sharing a love meal, a meal in which we remind just through eating together, through hospitality, that we love one another. How can we do that more often? How can we be more hospitable to one another and take that beyond ourselves? So loving one another means being with one another. It also, I think, means bearing with one another. Ephesians 4:3 says, "Be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love." It means that we do not go up to someone and say, "I'm saying this in love," before we proceed to tear them to shreds. I'm a victim of that kind of approach, then I am sorry, you know, that you've had to go through that. But someone has defined love for others like this, saying, "It is silence when your words would hurt. It is patience when your neighbor is curt. It is deafness when a scandal flows. It is thoughtfulness for another's woes. It is promptness when stern duty calls. It is courage when misfortune falls." Quite a bit to think about there. So a church that's fruitful in love is firstly a church that knows the love of God and loves God in return. It's a church in which we love one another. It's also a church from which we go in love and grow in love. Because actually, fruit begets fruit, doesn't it? In the fruit of this season comes maybe the seeds that go towards the fruit of next season, or through the plants that are already there and the trees. Fruit begets fruit. And for each of us who knows Christ, we live by the Spirit. And without that, we would be dead in sin. But it's not just the Spirit of God working within us that brings forth fruition with the Spirit working within us. And that, I think, is why Paul says, "Let us keep in step with the Spirit." In our those of us that met in life groups this week, we were thinking going back to our community fund day, or our involvement in the community fund day last Sunday afternoon, which we're getting ready for, weren't we, this time last week. And I've always enjoyed being there. It's good to see people there. It's good to be part of people having fun, isn't it? And thank you for all of those of you who contributed to that, either through being there, being a part of the day, or praying for us, or maybe just wandering through to see what was happening. It was another good day. I mean, that's one of the ways, isn't it, in which we are going in love and seeking to let love grow in our community. Another way, and I pick upon the things that are kind of most recently in my mind, is our Renew Cafe, which happened again yesterday. And thank you, John, for your report that you emailed on with nine guests that came along with those who were there as volunteers. And it's good to know that people are coming along to that as a safe place, a quiet shared space where it's okay not to be okay. Whether it's always that quiet is another matter, because conversation flows as well. But there is opportunity there for people to gather in quiet, in prayer, in the middle of that time. So these are examples by which we go in love and grow in love. And of course, coming up for some of us is the annual Buckingham Church's Holiday Club, which has been a part of what we do for many a year. 35 years. I just think, was it 25? Was it 35 years? Crumbs, I was scarcely born 35 years ago. If you believe that, you believe anything. But I was much younger. Safe to say, isn't it? We were all much younger 35 years ago. And it's another thing. How else, we were asking in our life groups in the week, what are the other things that we, through which we might go in love and grow in love? So the fruit of the Spirit is love. As we finish our time together, we are going to sing a song, which probably we don't sing that often, but I'd like it really to be a prayer. It is the hymn, Brother, Sister, Let Me Serve You. When we think of brother and sister, we very often think of those who we know through our church, who are our brother in Christ or our sister in Christ, our friends in Christ. We very often think of them, but I wonder, might we turn this outward? Bearing in mind what we've talked about this morning, might we turn this outward and imagine those who are around us? Imagine those who are perhaps at Holiday Club or in Renew Cafe or were the Lacehill Funday, or are in whatever capacity you are serving during the week. Brother, sister, let me serve you. Let me be as Christ to you. And pray that I may have the grace to let you be my servant too. So let's make that our prayer as we draw to a close of this cafe church.